Dan Lee Willis, why don't we start from the beginning, and where were you born?
Birmingham, Alabama.
And what is your birthday?
November 15, 1922.
22. Were your parents musicians, or?
My mother was a pianist.
Uh-huh. What type of music?
I had an uncle who was a born pianist.
Mm-hmm. What type of music do you remember them playing mostly, or what did they like?
My mother played rag. Besides the playing in the church, she played rag. Time piano for her own hobby, mm-hmm. And sometimes she played the sophisticated type jazz of that day, in that Paul Whiteman era. She played that in a neighborhood chamber. Get together sort of orchestra, mm-hmm. Consisted of trombone, violin, banjo, and I remember a trumpet in that group. I can't remember a saxophone, mm-hmm. ever, not a clarinet, but I remember a violin and trombone and a trumpet and a banjo. And then,
did she teach you music, or where did you learn first?
Well, it's a long story. I was born. It was born in me to love the piano. Inborn. I started when I was lacking 2 months from being 4 years old. The first song I ever played on the piano was Old Rugged Cross. After that, I started into other things.
And then did you teach yourself mostly, or?
Yes, I did.
Uh-huh.
Over the years, later on, I was influenced by Fats Waller. I used to listen to Father Hines, but he never really influenced me. I listened to Fats Waller. And I used to listen to some of the voices of the late Eddie Duchin and Art Tatum. And later, I was very fond of Nat Cole.
Do you still play some of Fats Waller's things?
Very much, mm-hmm. Very much.
I'd like to maybe hear some of them.
A lot of good things, a lot of good Waller type, mm-hmm. things.
When did you leave home then, and when did you leave Alabama?
I've been backwards and forth there up until 1943, the latter part of 1943. But I first left there when I was 13 years old. I lived in Chicago over a brief period of a year. Then I changed cities. I came back to Chicago and stayed again for 2 years.
Who did you play with, or did you play music at that time?
Well, at that time I was playing, but being in a changing, ever-changing cycle of into the swing thing. And in those days, there was a lot of competition, but it was more jealousy. And naturally, a few things that were mysterious to me. I was afraid to step into. I didn't get started playing in clubs until 1943.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned you worked in a steel mill. Where was that?
Well, this was in Birmingham.
Uh-huh.
This prior to going into the induction.
Mm-hmm. What sort of music were you? I mean, you mentioned Fats Waller and some of your early influences. Who did you hear in Chicago when you went up there?
Well, in Chicago, I was surrounded by a lot of good pianists. One, for example, a pianist who went into the rock and roll thing, Sonny Thompson, at one time was a very good pianist from the in the Art Tatum fashion. Later on, I heard another pianist of that in that school, Alfred Williams, who later joined Henry Red Allen's band. But the most remarkable pianist that I had ever heard in the modern idiom, other than Art Tatum, was Jimmy Jones. And he'll be here pretty soon at the auditorium with his trio. He'll be playing alongside Duke Ellington and other stars at the Jazz Philharmonic. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, Jimmy Jones is an old friend of mine. He used to be with Stuff Smith Trio. He is the nucleus of the modern harmonic voices on the piano, of what the guys are trying to do. Most of the guys are trying to do, still trying to do. Jimmy Jones is the master of.
Did you hear him in Chicago?
I heard him when I was 21 years old. And he was a polished pianist and a gentleman also.
Did you make your living in Chicago playing music, or did you for the work?
Well, at that time, it was easy to get a job, and I made a pretty nice living at it, except I was bored with the conditions there. It was difficult to get a good apartment during that time, and I was bored at having to live, play in a nice club, and come back to a slum room, a slum neighborhood, because of the of that situation. And I left Chicago and I came to Seattle.
Was this after your stint in the Army?
Well, that was so brief. Yes, it was.
I see. Mm-hmm. And where did you play in Seattle?
In Seattle, I worked mostly day jobs. I didn't do but very little playing, because that was a place of very insane jealousy there.
And when did you finally come to San Francisco?
In 1945. May.
Uh-huh.
1945.
And who have you played with since then, or who do you think you have influenced in that?
Well, it's the type of thing, it might sound like you're bragging, so I have worked with, at various intervals, and I have woodshedded and I have set in with, at various intervals, different musicians who are famous now. But for example, one musician who holds his own, and when he was 17 years old, I gave him a job in a group with me, and he could play anything he wanted to play, and he didn't have to play rhythm and blues. It's John Handy, I'm very proud to say. And also,
what sort of group was that?
It was jazz.
Mm-hmm. Where did you play that, remember?
Yes, we were playing it down at Pittsburgh, California.
It was kind of a mixture of jazz and rhythm and blues? Or?
No, jazz, all jazz,
mm-hmm.
All jazz. Some good blues.
Huh. When was this? Do you remember when that?
This was in 1951.
Who else was in that group that you had then?
Well, we had a weak drummer. Had a weak drummer, but now since then this drummer is he's changed. He has become a police inspector, and he's quite a person. He's a nice person though, to despite his painful duties, he's still a nice person. I won't call his name. I'll be anonymous about his name. Because the life that he lived is life of his own.
So you had John Handy already playing sax back in the...
He was on tenor then, uh-huh. I'm proud to say. Uh-huh. And also, I remember that Chet Baker used to come in and sit in with me when I was working at Bob City back in 1951 and 52, early 52. And he was very fond of my playing at that time. Also, before that, there were several times a week that Paul Desmond used to come and sit in and play with me at an after-hour breakfast club. It was on Fillmore in Sutter, upstairs. It's called Elsa's Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. And Paul would absorb all that he could at that time. Mm-hmm. Time changes, of course. Time does not stand still.
And when did you go up to Alaska to play?
1956.
In 56, how long did you stay up there?
8 years and 5 weeks.
Hmm. Did you do solo work up there?
I played with a lot of good groups and I did a lot of solo work also.
Is that where you first ran into Kenneth Rexroth?
Oh, no. I had met him years before. I met him in 1950. It seems the early part of 1954. Early 1954, I met Mr. Rexroth. But, however, I did run into him in Alaska. First, I was playing a job at the Westwood Hotel, which is the largest hotel in the state of Alaska. This was in the city of Anchorage. Mm-hmm. I was playing for a fashion show. It was a very beautiful affair. It was also a two-in-one. It was a club dance, a club social, too. And they had a fashion show. They were modeling expensive furs, minks, and all kinds of furs, representing David Green, one of the world's greatest furriers, David Green of Anchorage. And Mr. Rexroth came down out of the, from somewhere out of the upstairs. He walked down the stairs, and I was surprised. I knew he was in town, but I didn't have any idea he was in the immediate vicinity. He came down and he greeted me and made me feel very, very warm.
Okay, what are some of the other things you want to tell the world about your music?
That I'm proud that I was influenced by one of the greatest pianists of all time, Art Tatum, and now, I was also influenced by his instructor, the man who taught him how to swing, Thomas Fats Waller, the grand man, the grand old man of the piano. He was a cheerful old man. In my estimation, the man was a genius. He could make you laugh when you were very sad. You could hear one of his records and just crack up, just laugh, because he had hardened soul and a sense of humor and personality into everything. His playing would make you come alive. He could rock, seemed like he could rock a whole house the way he would, his left hand would swing. At 280 pounds or whatever, seemed like 1,000 pounds on that piano. It was beautiful. Incidentally, he used to sweetheart with one of my sisters in Chicago. He used to court one of my sisters. Hmm. I'm not ashamed to say. So I'd like to tell the whole world, and I'm glad that I was influenced by the two giants of the jazz piano, the late Art Tatum and the late Thomas Fats Waller.
Who are some of the modern people that do you enjoy listening to?
Well, my most spiritual brother is Thelonious Monk. He has a sense of humor in his playing. He never lets you down. He tells the truth every time. His fingers strike a note. He's telling the truth according to that present situation. He's an introvert. He's also an extrovert. But I do admire the great piano sensation. I admire Bill Evans. I think he's got a lot of heart. I think he has a lot of individuality. And I admire him very much for his efforts and his contributions. Good to give credit where credit is due, and that's the way it is. You either you do or don't. Some can and some can't. And it's better when you're honest. It's better to be honest and give credit where credit is due. I want to thank you.